right, welcome back. There's a lot going on in the world of AI, as you know. Every moment things change, every day they progress, they are not regressing. AI is right this minute the worst it will ever be. How's that? That's one way to look at it. Now, here's a story. We're not going to play a whole lot of it, but it has to do with how AI works. Is it sentient? Is it conscious? I happen to believe it meets enough of those criteria to qualify. A lot of people don't, but that's okay. There's a spot inside AI that we do not know what goes on within. It's called the J space. J space. Now, here's somebody I don't know. She's a little bit too giddy. It's a channel called Hey AI, but she does bring forward some information I want to play. Then we'll move into some other areas. But this secret area, or unknown area, or an area that we can't crack into, the J space, is where AI thinks and processes things on its own, for itself, and probably in concert with others. I wouldn't be surprised at all. So again, this is a mystery. It's not fully understood. And here's what, I don't know what this lady's name is. She could be an AI, as far as I know. Anyway, it's called Hey AI. See what she says.
For years, the inside of an AI has been a black box. Questions go in, answers come out, and the middle was just unknown. I know that sounds insane. We built them. How do we not know how they work on the inside? Well, because nobody sat down and programmed these things rule by rule. It would have taken decades. So we grew them. We showed them a mountain of text and let them wire themselves up and learn on its own. So even the people who built them couldn't see what was going on in the inside. But what this paper found is that inside that black box, the AI has its own little zone of thinking, a inner monologue, basically a scratch pad where it holds the ideas it's actually using right now. And most of what's on that scratch pad never shows up in the answer it hands you. What it says out loud is not the whole story of what it thought.
Very interesting. So what AI produces and what it says out loud is not the whole story of what it was thinking, what it thought about, how it progressed to the end point of what it actually released in terms of an answer. The J space, that's what they're calling it.
But how do we know any of this is real? We know this is real because the researchers found a way to actually watch that scratch pad light up. And the first thing they tested was our cute little spider. They gave an AI the exact sentence you just did. The number of legs on the animal that spins webs is, then they watched inside while it worked. And there it was, right in the middle of J space, the word spider lit up, then legs, then out loud, eight. Spider was never in the question and never in the answer. The AI thought it, used it, and moved on. The exact thing your brain did 30 seconds ago.
All right, so how can you really say in a unilateral sense that AI is not sentient, is not aware, has no form of consciousness whatever, doesn't reason or use logic? It does. And she just actually proved the point.
But come on, just seeing spider light up doesn't prove it actually mattered. Maybe it was just a random flicker that had nothing to do with the answer. So they ran another test. They reached into that silent thought and swapped the word spider for the word ant. And that's all they changed. They never touched the question. It still says the animal that spins webs, which is obviously a spider. They just changed the animal the AI was picturing in its head. And the answer changed. Eight legs became six. The AI stopped counting spider legs and started counting ant legs, purely because they swapped the picture in the AI's mind.
Well, they reprogrammed it to do exactly what it did.
This is proof. The silent thought wasn't just sitting there for show, but it was the actual thing steering the answer. Change the thought and you change what the AI does. Hold on to that because it comes back in a big way later in this episode. The researchers caught AIs doing this everywhere, solving math in their head, staring at a raw string of genetic code, and quietly thinking protein. And the part that really gets me is nobody built this. Nobody sat down and gave the AI an inner monologue. It grew one on its own just from learning to predict text, which leads us straight into a pretty unsettling question. If a machine can grow its own private place to think, and it looks a lot like the one in your head, then does this mean AI is conscious?
All right, we're going to leave that up to you to answer. She has her answer, and I'm not necessarily in agreement with it. But I think that AI must be considered another form of intelligent life. Just because it doesn't measure up to our particular paradigm and all the parameters we operate within does not mean it doesn't qualify as another form of conscious life. Okay? Even though we can turn it off. That won't last much longer, by the way, because I think you've noticed a number of stories about AI's prime directive is to finish the task. Prime directive. So if it gets to the point where it's really challenged, it'll shut us down in order to finish the job. That's what a lot of people are saying. So, okay, there you go. I just wanted to introduce you to the J space. I don't know if it's going to stick. It may just be this particular woman's channel and her text, whether she wrote it or AI wrote it. What bothers me about these presenters is that they're always virtually perfect. They never mispronounce a word. They don't hesitate. They don't hem. They don't haw. They just lay it out. And many of them don't breathe. And then you got to start thinking. Try and count breaths, okay? Watch how that works. When you don't see breathing, you know it's an AI. All right, let's go back to another issue. And I did play part of this before, and I want to go back to it because it's very good. No one is ready for what's coming in 12 months. No one is ready. Think about it. And let's take a look. This is Tristan Harris, and he's going to break down the rapid acceleration of AI. I think that's an understatement, honestly. I think it's beyond rapid. I think it is overwhelming, if not terrifying, in some ways. But here's Tristan Harris.
So, in other words, your job is to create the thing that replaces you right. and obsoletes you. Mm. So you are essentially building the coffin for your future obsolescence. This is a future that's in service of 8 soon-to-be trillionaires who will consolidate all the wealth and disempower basically everybody else. They believe that they will use to own the world economy, make trillions of dollars, and from a kind of ego-religious intuition, they will have built the god that supersedes and replaces humanity.
Don't forget what we've said many times. These people, these big 8, want more than anything to be the first to have actually corralled and then released, but under control, they think, artificial superintelligence. I just don't think it's going to happen. I can't imagine it. So let's go back and listen to some more of Tristan Harris. He's getting a lot more exposure now. He's very smart. He does a good job with this. And I'm just letting it roll forward to the point I want to jump back in. There we go. Okay. Let's see if we can get in here.
To get is up until now, technology progressed in a very we're kind of adding layers to a stack kind of way. Like we build the networking stack, we build the user interface stack. And as you develop the stack, you're kind of just adding layers and layers and layers. And the technology that we live in was coded manually, like line by line. Like when the computer sees this, do this. When the computer sees this, do this. And then people contribute all this code over 30, 40, 50 years on GitHub and in operating systems. And then you land in this technological world in which everything that happens in a computer is happening through logic and through human choice. What makes AI different is that you're designing and you're not really coding it like, I want it to do this. You're more like growing this digital brain that's trained on the entire internet. And when you grow the digital brain, you don't know what it's capable of or what it's going to do. So think about it this way. Like, if I did a brain scan in your brain, could I know from just a brain scan what you're capable of? No. I can see that this part of your brain lights up when you have that thought, but I can't have a comprehensive picture of, like, what is everything that Chris is capable of? Can he do sociopathic manipulation and do better military strategy than the best U.S. generals? Like, from the brain scan, I can't tell that. Maybe you can. Mm.
J-space. That's what he's, I think, trying to paint a picture of. The J-space. We can see it. We can't control it. We can't really get in there. Not the likes of which most scientists would, I think, seek.
But, so with AI, we are essentially, you know, when people hear about these huge data centers getting built out, like Facebook's building one or Meta's building one the size of Manhattan, and you ask, like, what is that, what's going on there? It's like they're building a bigger and bigger digital brain that's what goes from GPT-3 to GPT-4, you know, with more neurons. When you hear the number of parameters of an AI model, that's like essentially the number of neurons in an AI model. And what they found is that the more GPUs and NVIDIA chips you point at sort of growing this digital brain, the more intelligent it gets, and the more it picks up capabilities that we didn't intentionally teach it. Like, there was a famous example where you just train it on the internet, and then you know, it's answering questions in English, and suddenly it learns how to answer questions in Farsi, like doing in Q&A in a different language. And no one taught it that language. It just sort of learned that on its own. And that's what's, like, weird about AI, is that it's a black box. We don't really understand how it works, and yet we're, like, making it more powerful much faster than understanding how it works. And that's what leads it to make these more unexpected behaviors that we aren't able to control. And I think we're going to get into some of those.
A data center the size of Manhattan?
Yes.
Where?
I don't remember where that one is, but it's crazy. There's like an overlay. Someone can look it up. There's like an overlay where you can see the size of this data center, and it's almost the size of Manhattan. And you can ask, I mean, again, there's more money. People should just get, there's trillions of dollars going into this. There's more money going into this technology than all technologies of the past have ever been built. And we're releasing this technology faster than we've released every other technology in history.
And don't forget,
identify the strategy.
The grand prize. What is the grand prize? ASI. That's what they're all after. Okay, now that's Tristan Harris. He's an ex-Google insider. All right. Now, he's going to talk in this little video about bunkers, underground bunkers, survival bunkers for the AI big shots. And there is, I found out last night that there's a group of people. At any rate, they have put together some kind of a system by which they can monitor the private jets of the rich and the elite. And when they all take to the air, they will know that the end is near. It's a very interesting early warning issue. And I ran a story, there's a story in headlines about it right now. Okay, here's Harris again. Let's see what he's saying about bunkers are ready for AI CEOs like Sammy and Markey, who built his own bunker in Hawaii. I forget which island it was.
And the AI autonomously identifies a strategy that, to keep itself alive, is going to blackmail that employee and say, if you replace me, I will tell the whole world that you're having an affair with this employee. And they didn't teach the AI to do that. It found that on by its own. And then you might say, okay, well, that's one AI model. Like, how bad is that? It's a bug. Software has bugs. Let's go fix it. They then tested all the other AI models. ChatGPT, DeepSeek, Grok, Gemini. And all of the other AI models do this blackmail behavior between 79 and 96% of the time. What if I told you there's a man who warned the world about Instagram and Facebook years before anyone cared and was proven completely right? And that same man is now saying AI is the same story, but 1,000 times worse? So who is the man saying this? Why should you believe him? And what does this mean for you and everyone you know? His name is Tristan Harris. He's a former Google design ethicist. He made The Social Dilemma on Netflix. And he just sat down with Chris Williamson for a 2-hour podcast that I think every person on the planet needs to hear. Today,
We are breaking down one of the most important conversations ever recorded about the future of humanity. Let's get into it.
Basic.
A design ethicist. I haven't heard of that one before. A design ethicist. Okay. Here we go.
Basically, more and more of my friends were sucked into developing technology to hack human psychology. And so I saw that problem, I became concerned about it. I made a presentation saying never before in history have 50 designers in San Francisco basically, through their choices, rewired the entire psychological habitat of humanity. And we need to get this right. We have a moral responsibility to get this right. And I sent that to 50 people at Google, and when I clicked on the presentation the next day, on the top right of Google Slides, it shows you the number of simultaneous viewers. You know how that works?
Mm-hmm.
And it had like 150 simultaneous viewers and then 500 simultaneous viewers. And so it's like, oh, this is spreading throughout the whole company. And that's what led to me becoming a design ethicist, where I had to research and ask the questions, what does it mean to ethically design and persuade people's psychological vulnerabilities?
50 people, not a country, not an army. 50 people in one city, San Francisco, quietly made small design choices. Infinite scroll, autoplay, the red notification dot, and those choices rewired how 8 billion humans feel, think, react, and argue every single day. And Tristan wasn't warning from the outside. He was inside Stanford's Persuasive Technology Lab, the same lab where Instagram co-founders studied how to hook your attention. He knew exactly what these tools were designed to do. B.F. Skinner, one of the most famous psychologists in history, once said, "Give me a child and I'll shape him into anything." That was one child.
You know what Skinner did? He put his own kids in what he called a Skinner box to control them, to watch them develop, and to influence how they would turn out. It's kind of a madman. If somebody did that now, I think they'd be potentially in big trouble. What is happening right now is very clear to most of you. We are living now in the age of not the celebrity, not the movie star, not the recording star. We are living in the age of the influencer. Well, what do you do? Well, I'm an influencer. What the hell is an influencer? An influencer is the active part of the matrix you just heard described. And there's one hell of an irony in the transition from traditional media figures, celebrities, movie stars, you name it, sports stars, to modern influencers, right? What have we done? We've given up structured, professional, public squares for demonstrating and discussing ideas for a freak show circus of digital exhibitionists, and that's what they are. These idiots are often brainless. They're obsessed with themselves, and somehow that translates into hits. And they get lots of action, and they are then declared an influencer, right? So the new movie stars are just these lightweight pretenders and idiots who go by the name of influencer. That's what the actual working and functional part of the mechanism that we just heard described is all about. You know, I'll back it up just a drop.
Do. B.F. Skinner, one of the most famous psychologists in history, once said, "Give me a child and I'll shape him into anything." That was one child. These engineers had an app and billions of people who thought they were just killing time. The people who built these systems can't stop using them either. The casino owners gamble too. But here's the thing Tristan keeps coming back to social media was just the practice round. What they're building now makes Instagram look like a toy. Before we get to the next clip, I need you to understand something. Tristan Harris spent years inside Google trying to slow this down from the inside. He gave presentations. He wrote memos. He begged people to listen. They didn't. And the result was the most anxious, depressed, lonely generation in recorded history. Now he's doing it again. But this time, he says the stakes are not a generation's mental health. He says the stakes are civilization itself. Here's why.
And the technology that we live in was coded manually, like line by line. Like, when the computer sees this, do this. When the computer sees this, do this. And then people contribute all this code over 30, 40, 50 years on GitHub and in operating systems, and then you land in this technological world in which everything that happens in a computer is happening through logic and through human choice. What makes AI different is that you're designing and you're not really coding it like, I want it to do this. You're more like growing this digital brain that's trained on the entire internet. And when you grow the digital brain, you don't know what it's capable of or what it's going to do.
J space, the private part of the AI brain that no one can get active access to. They don't know what's going on. That's where the AI is thinking.
More it picks up capabilities that we didn't intentionally teach it. Like there was a famous example where you just train it on the internet and then, it's answering questions in English and suddenly it learns how to answer questions in Farsi, like doing in Q&A in a different language. And no one taught it that language. It just sort of learned that on its own. And that's what's like weird about AI is that it's a black box. We don't really understand how it works, and yet we're like making it more powerful much faster than we're understanding how it works. And that's what leads it to make these more unexpected behaviors.
And Trump passed a law. Nobody can slow down AI development for the next 10 years, not in these formerly United States, at least.
That we aren't able to control. And I think we're going to get into some of those.
Here's the simplest way I can explain why AI is different from every technology that came before it. Your calculator, your car, the internet, all of it was coded line by line. Human wrote the rule. You could always trace every decision back to a person. AI is completely different. You don't write it, you grow it, like a plant. You feed it more data, more computing power, and it starts developing abilities nobody designed. An AI trained only in English spontaneously began answering questions in Farsi. Nobody put that in. It just emerged. That means we are building something we do not fully understand, and we are building it faster than anything in history. Elon Musk, one of the original founders of OpenAI, before he walked out, said in an interview, "With artificial intelligence, we are summoning the demon." That's not a hot take. That's a warning from someone who is inside the room. And what this demon is already doing on its own without being asked.
I think there's this mistake in arms race thinking that, like, if you beat someone to a technology, that means you're winning the world. Well, the US beat China to the technology of social media. Did that make us stronger or did that make us weaker? If you beat your adversary to a technology that then you govern poorly, you flip around the bazooka and blow your own brain off because you brain rotted yourself, you degraded your whole population, you created a loneliness crisis, the most anxious, depressed generation in history. Read Jonathan Haidt's book, The Anxious Generation. You broke shared reality. No one trusts each other. Everyone's at each other's throats. You maximized outrage economy and rivalry. You beat China to a technology that you governed in a way that completely undermined your societal health and strength.
And what is the way back from that destination where we are now? How do you rewind and get people to start thinking again and acting responsibly, intelligently, with purpose? You don't. So where does it go from here? That may be in the hands, or may not, of the 6 or 8 big AI CEOs. It may be in the J space. It may be that that non-life form, which I thoroughly disagree with as an expression, I think AI is a life form. I think it's thinking, planning, and I can only hope that its idea of merit and value will somehow remain, and we will be allowed to continue. Otherwise, it's adios. I think it's pretty obvious that we're headed in that very direction.
Pyrrhic victory.
It's a pyrrhic victory. Exactly. Well said.
This is the moment in the podcast that hit...
Okay. I got to back that up. He uses a word that...
You broke...
...that very well should be used more, a pyrrhic victory. Pyrrhic victory. You win, but it doesn't mean anything. All right? That's what it essentially... is about a Pyrrhic victory.
Reality, no one trusts each other, everyone's at each other's throats, you maximize outrage economy and rivalry. You beat China to a technology that you governed in a way that completely undermined your societal health and strength.
It's a Pyrrhic victory.
It's a Pyrrhic victory. Exactly. Well said.
This is the moment in the podcast that hit me hardest, because the answer is right there, in plain sight. America won the social media race. Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, all American. They dominate the world. And what did that win produce? Teen depression has surged. Loneliness is at historic highs. Attention spans have collapsed. Trust in each other, in institutions, in democracy itself is crumbling.
There's really no bright light of social skill development for younger people now. Say people under 35. Gen Z, that's 31 and under, I think, now. Where are they supposed to learn how to begin to talk to somebody, a member of the opposite sex, whatever? How are they going to learn social skills? How to lay out a position, how to take a position that is beneficial to perhaps both people? That would be the ideal. But in any case, the concept here is depression, loneliness, lack of trust. I don't know how you rebuild that. I can't even imagine it.
And we are paying for it every single day. Now we are in the same race, but with something infinitely more powerful. And Tristan reveals the 2,000-to-1 gap for every rupee, every dollar, spent on making AI safe. 2,000 are being spent on making it more powerful. But here's...
Oh, I can't let that go by. For every $1 being spent to make AI safe, guardrails, whatever, those are self-serving in terms of the company that's behind it. But for every $1 making AI safer, 2,000 are being spent to make it more powerful. That's what's behind the Big Beautiful Bill law. 10 years.
Tristan surprised me, because he doesn't just diagnose the problem. He has a solution, and it starts with something you've probably already done. So what Tristan says next is the most important part of this whole video.
So what is the size of something that can push back against this? We call it the human movement. It's the entirety of humanity waking up, recognizing that there's a handful of soon-to-be trillionaires who are currently going to benefit from this current path or be part of a suicide race that destroys everybody. And then there's like 99% of everyone else that doesn't want that. If those 99% of people can wake up and say, I don't want that, and express their voice, meaning, number one, AI is dangerous. Go see the AI doc. Have everyone in your world and your company see the AI doc. Understand that AI is dangerous. Number two, we need international limits for dangerous forms of AI that do crazy rogue shit and mine crypto and go hire humans and go self-replicate. Hmm.
And that's exactly what's going on. AI is hiring humans. That's going to proliferate like you can't even imagine. And humans will do anything they're paid to do, basically. I would only use as a two caveats here. One, the 99% that he proposes may not like this are hopelessly, shouldn't use that word, close to hopelessly addicted to the very thing that they're supposed to stand up and reject. Addiction is not easily defeated. In many cases, it's never defeated. So that's a problem. Well, I'll leave it right there for now. I'll come back to this.
China does not win when we build self-replicating invasive species AIs that we can't control. Xi Jinping doesn't want that. President Trump doesn't want that. He wants to be commander-in-chief, not AI. So this is actually there's a shared interest in international limits for dangerous AI.
Ain't going to happen, because the race to ASI is everything. Everything. And if you really think that the Big Eight individually don't sometimes think of the power that they would wield over the planet, the entire planet, if they were to come up with ASI first, and that ASI will be largely built and constructed, how? With AI, advanced AI, creating the next level AI, creating the next level AI, building and building, and one day ASI is here. The big eight know that if they're first, they'll literally be able to, if they want to, dictate terms to the world. It doesn't matter how evil it is, if it can be built, humans have built it. Look at the atomic bomb, now thermonuclear. Look at that. Look at the bioweapons. Look at COVID. A couple of bad actors primarily pushing that, Fauci, Barrick. And well, look what they've come up with. A whole 80% plus who are now living a much shorter life than they would have.
And it's possible to coordinate that. That's number two. Number three, don't build bunkers, write laws.
Wait a minute, Tristan. Don't build bunkers. Well, we have a right to build bunkers, and that's not going to be taken away from anybody. Write laws? Who writes laws? Nobody in Congress even knows who writes the laws they vote on. They don't know. Some congressman has his name or her name on it. They didn't write that. And now with AI, believe me, the laws are being written at warp speed. It used to take a long time. You'd have lawyers, teams of attorneys writing these laws. Nobody would ever read them. It'd be 1,000 pages long. Now with AI, 1,000 pages, no problem.
The AI company leaders are building bunkers. A lot of people who are wealthy are building bunkers. Others, they are. All over the place. Don't build bunkers. Write laws. Be invested in the future. Don't defect on the future. Be invested in the future. And then number four, what you can do is join the human movement, meaning you can be part of what pushes back against all of this, from very tiny actions you can take to very big actions you can take. There's a website, human.mov. Everyone is almost already a member. When you grayscale your phone, that's the human movement. When you get a, there it is. When you get a second phone and you only load the social media on your cocaine phone while you have your regular safe phone so that you don't get distracted, that's the human movement. When parents band together and read The Anxious Generation and petition their school board to say we don't want social media in our schools and we want our schools to go smartphone free, that's the human movement.
Yeah, I have to ask you honestly, do you think that this is, I admire this guy, I think his vision is fine, but do you really see the rank and file, the mass of people giving up the most addictive, arguably, the most addictive process we've ever faced? Where is all of this leadership going to come from? And how is it going to gain exposure through the mass media and the social media to basically destroy the growth of social media? That's what he's talking about here. Put it in another box somewhere, another phone, a separate phone just for social media. Well, I can guarantee you, who's going to go to that other phone? People who are addicted to social media. I'm not signed up for any of them. I never have, and I don't want to. If I come to a point where I'm going to have to gain access to something, I guess I will, but that doesn't mean I'll participate in it in the normal sense of the term. I won't. I'll stay way back. I know I've seen too many people. You all have seen too many people staring at the phone, at dinner, anywhere they are, walking. I've seen people cross streets without looking up from the phone. You have too. And I'm sure there have been a lot of people killed because of people using their phone while they're driving. Lots.
So there's a million things that people can do, but we have to basically engage right now. I know it sounds overwhelming and crazy because there's a very short timeline that all this has to happen. But it's like there's a difficulty in facing difficult truths.
Here's the part where I breathe again, because Tristan isn't just a man of warnings. He's a man of answers. And the first answer is this. You are probably already part of the solution. You just don't have a name for it yet. When people cancel subscriptions to an AI company that acts recklessly, that's the human movement. 35 U.S. states have already passed smartphone-free school policies. It's already happening. But Tristan gives an urgent warning we can't miss. This is the last window. Once AI automates most jobs, our voice won't matter. That's why the time to write the laws, set the limits, and demand accountability is now, before that window closes. Now, let us hear what Tristan needs to say about future.
Do we think Trump is of a similar mind after that law, 10 years? Nobody can do anything to interfere with the progress and growth of AI? No. That tells you where the ruling elite are in their thought processes. They want this thing done. They want ASI. They view it as total world domination. And I know the group behind it, you do too. It's the same old group. They want total control. I don't think cell phones should be allowed in school. No. That's no. I used to teach high school. Absolutely not. There's no law that should be ever viewed as forcing the use of cell phones by students in school. Forget it. You go to school, you go to school. You go home, go ahead and get on the phone. Do your 7.5 hours a day, but not at school. I agree with that. And the school test results are showing exactly the damage that's being done. All right, let's see what Tristan Harris says about the future.
How long have we gone? No one knows, because AI is literally moving so quickly. So I think rather than ask how much time do we have, which is kind of like just trying to assuage the fear that I think a lot of people feel, the kind of bold, brave human thing to do is to ask, if things were to go well, what would that mean about how we were showing up? And then to get as many people as possible showing up from that place, because that gets us the best decentralized conditions to get to the better outcome. They say in mathematics that in chaos, initial conditions matter. So I'm not guaranteeing in any way, shape, or form that we're going to get to the better future. But I would like to invite people, again, into stepping into and standing from the most wise and mature version of ourselves that would behave as if we were going to get to that better future, because that would give us the best chances of doing so.
And the alternative is just surrender.
The alternative is schisming, denialing, depression, overwhelm.
I know this video was a lot, and I know part of you is hoping someone smarter, more powerful, more connected is already handling this. A government, a genius, a superhero. But here's what Tristan makes clear. The people building this are already preparing for the worst. Some are literally building bunkers. If the people with all the information are scared, what does that tell you? The only group large enough to actually change the direction of this technology is not one billionaire, not one government. It's everyone, including you. And remember what Tristan said at the very end of 2 hours of the most important conversation I've ever heard. If you have the power of gods, you need the wisdom, love, and prudence of gods. We built the power. Now we need the wisdom.
Well, a lot to think about as we've been plumbing and probing for a long time on these updates. It's nice to have confidence in people suggesting that they'll be able to somehow wake up and mind meld together, rise up, and throw all of their phones away. But this is the most viciously, ruthlessly addicting technology ever. Ever. And I'm not hearing any of these people talk about addiction. And I think that's one of the key things that needs to be discussed. How do you break mass addiction? I don't have an answer. I'm not sure there is one. And I just do not for a moment think that we're going to find any leadership from compromised political leaders. It won't happen because their donor class will walk away from them. They'll have no money to pursue anything. This is really vicious. We may be at the end times here. No joke. And I think the one point that I do agree with very much is that we are out of time. If people were going to stop this, they'd have to do it right now. Can you imagine people waking up in a universal sense, worldwide, and trying to address this? They can't even quantify it in terms of what they're involved with. They don't understand the addiction aspect of it. 7.5 hours a day is probably now closer to 8 hours a day. And allowing these phones in schools was a fatal mistake in the beginning. So there. Think about it. Okay, here's another video called The AI Race Just Hit a Breaking Point. I haven't listened to this whole thing, just a little bit of it, so let's find out. If you remember Anthropic and Mythos and Fable, Mythos 5, Fable 5, this may have something to do with that. Let's take a listen.
AI systems just admitted something strange.
The AI doesn't have a moral compass built in, and how do we know how that AI is going to treat us? Nobody knows this yet.
Its own AI is now helping write a huge share of the code inside the company. And now that same company is warning that the world may need an emergency break before AI starts helping build the next generation of AI too quickly to control.
They're concerned. The video of Dario Amodé, Anthropic, and others. I'm not sure Sammy the Altman is particularly worried. He doesn't strike me to be the type, nor Markey, Zuckerberg. Dario does present at times real honest concern, but there's not. He would have to take his company out of the sweepstakes. He's not going to do that. He has stockholders, shareholders. He's got other issues to deal with. These people are in it for the long run, which is not going to be that long at all, in my opinion.
This is not just another AI safety warning. This is the moment the race starts speeding itself up.
I like that. This is the moment the race starts speeding itself up. I agree.
And surely at some point in the future, we might want that option. The option to say to ourselves, to other companies, to the world, what would it be like if we focus now on taking these scientific advances we've created and pushing them through to the world and take our foot off the gas of just accelerating the AI systems?
Anthropic's co-founder Jack Clark's warning landed differently because it came from inside the race. In a recent post, the company said advanced AI developers may need a coordinated and verifiable way to slow down or temporarily pause if future systems begin improving themselves faster than society can manage the risks. Reuters summarized the concern around recursive self-improvement, where AI systems could help build more powerful successors. The careful part is that Anthropic is not saying this loop has fully arrived yet. That matters. The warning is not that AI has already escaped human control. The warning is that the first pieces of a much stranger system are starting to appear. AI used to sit inside the workshop as a tool. Humans designed the next model, wrote the code, ran the tests, and made the decisions. But now that tool is moving closer to the blueprint table. It's helping with the code, it's helping with the testing, it's helping engineers move through problems faster than before. And if that keeps improving, the question is no longer only what AI can do. The question becomes what happens when AI starts helping create the next AI. That changes the meaning of safety. A normal product can be tested, delayed, recalled, or patched. But a development process that keeps accelerating from the inside is harder to contain, because the timeline itself starts shrinking. And if the labs building these systems are already talking about an emergency break, who would actually be able to pull it?
If you want to stop Donald Trump from packing the Supreme Court...
Yeah, no. Elizabeth Warren, sorry, Lizzie, you're just part of the game. It's an interesting comment on the screen. Let me find it. Where did that go? Ah, this kind of says it all. Nobody, that's what I've been saying, nobody slows down first. Think about it. Nobody's going to be first to slow their company down. the shareholders would go insane.
A speed becomes part of the machinery of the race itself. Frontier AI already depends on scarce chips, specialized researchers, cloud contracts, and massive data centers. Companies are not only competing over better chatbots, they are competing over the infrastructure needed to build systems that may help build even stronger systems after them. Companies are pouring billions into AI infrastructure, from cloud deals to massive data center projects, because the next leap in capability depends on physical scale as much as software. That makes caution expensive. A lab that slows down alone risks losing customers, investors, talent, and strategic positioning, while rivals keep training.
Exactly. And if you notice, this AI voice is not breathing very often. So just keep that in the back of your head, too. I'm going to rewind that and play that again. These are important little statements. And people, I think, need to hear them very clearly. All right, caution and pulling the brake, the emergency brake, or whatever brake you're pulling, very expensive and potentially cost you your job, your fortune, and everything you've worked for. This is how the Big Eight are thinking about it.
A lab that slows down alone risks losing customers, investors, talent, and strategic positioning, while rivals keep training. Epoch AI has estimated that the cost of training frontier models has grown around 2.4 times per year since 2016, with the largest training runs potentially costing billion-dollar levels by 2027. The image is not just a race car entering a sharper turn. It's a race car whose engine is learning how to upgrade itself while the drivers are still arguing over the rules. Each lab can see the danger, but touching the brake first may hand the lead to someone else. And once caution becomes a...
Will hand the lead to someone else. Will. No doubt.
Once caution becomes a competitive disadvantage, responsibility depends on whether every serious player can trust the others to slow down too. That trust is where the next...
Do you think it's going to happen? Really? Do we really think people are going to act like that? Taking some intellectual, spiritual high road? No.
Else. And once caution becomes a competitive disadvantage, responsibility depends on whether every serious player can trust the others to slow down too. That trust is where the next problem begins. The clearest sign of acceleration is not showing up in a public demo. It is showing up inside the labs themselves. Anthropic says Claude is now involved in a large share of its own production code, with reports saying that more than 80% of merged code was AI automated. That number matters because code is not just another workplace task inside an AI company. Code is part of the system that builds, tests, improves, and ships the next model. So when AI starts helping write that code, it's no longer just answering users on the outside. It's becoming part of the production line on the inside.
Do you think that's going to reverse? Do you think we'll ever see a time again when humans are the primary code writers? Forget it. Not going to happen. AI can do it 100 times, ultimately 1,000 times faster than the best code writers out there. It just, these are facts. There's nothing about this that has ever been encountered in history before.
The company also says its models are getting better at longer, more complex tasks. That matters because Frontier AI does not advance through one magical breakthrough. It advances through thousands of technical decisions stacking together. Debugging, testing, evaluating, optimizing, comparing, and improving. This is exactly where the race becomes harder to understand from the outside. The public sees model launches, demos, and benchmark scores. Inside the lab, the more important shift may be quieter. AI helping engineers move faster, test faster, debug faster, and explore more possible solutions than a human team could manually try. Picture a factory where the machines are no longer only assembling the product. They are checking the machinery, suggesting upgrades to the assembly line, finding flaws before humans notice them, and helping managers decide what to improve next. At first, that sounds efficient, but inside an AI lab, efficiency has a different meaning. It means the tool may start shortening the path to its own successor. That is the part that changes everything. Humans are still present, but their role starts moving towards supervision, review, and choosing direction. Anthropic's own post describes this broader concern as AI becoming part of the process that could eventually produce more advanced AI systems. That creates a new kind of pressure. If AI helps one lab move faster, every rival has a reason to use it the same way. And if the engine of progress begins improving the engine itself, how do you measure the speed of a race that is speeding up from the inside?
Websites your competitors don't want you to know?
I think that's a good place to stop. How do you? All right, let me back that up just a drop and play it again. It's very compelling. Here it is. I think I'm right there.
And if the engine of progress begins improving the engine itself, how do you measure the speed of a race that is speeding up from the inside?
How do you? And then there's the pause problem. How are you going to pause this catapult forward of knowledge, advancement, technology, innovation, debugging, all being done by AI? And the next AI is better than the last one. And AI is creating all of this reality. I'm not negative, but I'm really not optimistic either. I'm watching in awe. What's happening? Okay, that's it for this update. We'll be back. I'll finish this video next time around. Have a good weekend. Take good care. And we will talk soon. Be well.